So today we're closing out this series that we've been working through about how to live in turbulent times with resilient faith. And the metaphor of the umbrella has been part of what we have used, but there are other ways of thinking about this for sure. And we talked a lot about, during the course of this time, about how we are in need of that kind of shelter in the midst of those really kind of hard times. And we certainly experience hard times individually, don't we? I mean, there are moments that you wake up and it just like, it comes at you, you know? Life comes at you as if it were, you know, carrying a knife and wanting to devour you, or at least certain aspects of our life. But there's also the need to understand that this is more than just you individually. This is this journey of life that we have involves other people. And we are intertwined with each other in this. Certainly the graduates that we just celebrated, they've done amazing things. They have personally achieved really remarkable things and will continue to do that. But they have been dependent upon lots of people along the way. Like Willis's piano teacher, right? Or the janitor at the school, or the principal and the teachers, most certainly, but the aides, the folks that are working in cafeterias, the people that are trying to make sure things are safe and taken care of. For PT, right? The volunteers in the cadaver lab. And all those patients that said, okay, you're a student, but it's okay, come on. For all the young people that sang at the lecture that you gave, I thought, you know, when Willis was working through the degree, one of the responsibilities was to offer a kind of a very serious lecture about the field of study that he was working with, but he also needed to develop up a choir who performed the music that he was focusing on. And they showed up. Did you pay them? You didn't. No, but they were there. And actually, you know, one of the things that I saw is that they were thrilled to be there. Each one of us, as we have worked our way through our life, have relied on each other in ways that we were conscious of or ways that we might not have even been fully aware of, but that was still there for all those people that helped us in class, for all those people that helped us, you know, kind of figure our way through a difficult job situation, for all those people that came alongside us, maybe having some experience, maybe not, having just a sincere heart, wanting to be part of you doing well, of succeeding. And I think it's worthwhile to sometimes go back through and make a catalog, you know, or remember and give thanks for those folks. Some of them you can name and see, some of them you may never know. So, as we have been talking, there is storms that come, but there's also a community that surrounds us, and we go through some storms together, right? Some you know, storms are macroeconomic or rooted to, you know, price increases or rooted to political kind of whatever. Some of it has to do with the kinds of reality that we have found ourselves living in within our environment. Some of it has to do with just getting old together as a group. Seeing your friends that you used to kind of hang out with kind of age, and then realizing that you're right there with them. We need each other. That's what that scripture that was just read for you from Hebrews says. It says in a couple of different ways, in a couple of different places, very clearly, you and I need each other. And we need each other in sometimes some surprising and particularly specific ways. I think I've told you a bit of the story before, but I want you to remember the lesson for me of this. When Gina and I were, we returned to Virginia from Georgia, we were still in our 30s and, you know, thinking about having kids. I've told you that we had difficulty. We have adopted kids now, and I love them. They are mine. Gina and I have been blessed with kids, but not biologically. When we were pregnant, when my wife was pregnant, the first time we experienced a miscarriage. It was on Memorial Day weekend, and she was at a retreat. Someone mentioned Emmaus earlier. It was on an Emmaus retreat. She was working as a clergy person, and I was nearby at the retreat center, and she became ill, and as things progressed, she became very ill, and we had to rush her to the hospital as that process began. So I took her to the hospital. It was becoming apparent that we were losing the baby, but no one would say that to us. And we were in a process of also dealing with the fact that it was Memorial Day weekend, and, you know, doctors are not easily available. Our OBGYN was not. And so she and I had to wait till Tuesday of that weekend to see our doctor. And honestly, it was a very hard weekend. Now, Gina has poor eyesight. I will tell you that she requires some interesting contact lenses, which is a reality that I have benefited from for a very long time. She has poor eyesight and a poor judgment of character, all working in my favor. And so we got her home from the hospital, but I knew that we would need to get the things for her contact lenses and her glasses. And so I drove her home, had a friend stay with her, and then I drove to the retreat center where this was happening, where the retreat had been going on and where this all started, to get her things. And so I broke into the retreat center. I'm okay with the law at this point, but I did break in there and went to her room. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, went to her room, collected all her things, and started heading home. And in the process of heading home, what was happening really started to become very clear to me. And I got so mad at God. And that anger just boiled over. And I remember at one point saying to God, if this is what you're about, then I don't want to have any part of you. Which is not a good move in the career of a new clergy person. But that's exactly how I felt. When I got everything loaded, I'm banging through that, furious, trying to make sense of, you know, what to do next and how to take care of my wife and my baby. I continued that conversation with God. What are you about? What are you doing here? And how are you with me? How are you with her? And in the midst of that, there was no, you know, kind of like angel drop out of the sky. There was no epiphany or anything like that. But I started to think about people who were people of faith, who had gone through really ugly times too. I've mentioned some of these to you, like Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who was my teacher in school. He had a team of people that were assigned to follow him around. And when they got the word, they were to assassinate him. He worked and lived in a really troubled time and a troubled place where people were killing each other all the time. And he was offering something different that seemed to be pie in the sky. And yet, if you look at South Africa now, it's a very different country. When I thought about him, I thought about Glenn Henson, who is a Baptist pastor and teacher, who was basically thrown out of his denomination because of, you know, how he believed that God loved everybody, including, you know, LGBTQ folk and folk who are just different. Right. At one point in the midst of that, as a preacher and as a teacher, he lost his voice. He literally lost the ability to speak, which for a preacher is a nightmare. And for him was a reality. If you hear him speak now, it's still kind of labored, but it came back. That person, and that person, and that person, all of them were people that frankly went through hell. And held on to their faith. And in that particular moment, as I was driving home, I thought, well, maybe if they can hold on to it, I can hold on for a few more days. And so I went home and I prayed and we struggled. And then we made it to that. That Tuesday, we confirmed the diagnosis and we went forward with a procedure that was needed. And my faith just hit rock bottom. My faith was gone. But in the midst of that, there were people of faith who lovingly stood right beside me, who lovingly came up and around Gina, not with the words. Now, we will sometimes want to use words to kind of like, you know, make the bad go away. Have you heard this? Have you experienced this? You know, it's like when people say to a person who's experiencing grief, oh, God needed a little angel. God, you know, and just kind of like trying to like excuse God in some way. Sure, we had a few of that, but we also had people who in faith came and stood right beside us and walked with us even through. We had a service, and the service for that unborn child was just packed with people who are people of faith who came that day. That taught me so much as I look back over it over the years, and there's much more to this story, but the thing that I want you to hear is that there are people in this life who are people of faith who go through hell. And sometimes you might find yourself being the only person that can hold enough faith for both of you. That you have in your faith a big enough capacity to hold it for someone else while they're going through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You're with me. And sometimes I'm going to send somebody from church. Somebody from church who has experienced the rain and the hardship of life. Someone who has struggled even to find their own shelter in the midst of that. Someone who is walking their way through, but sometimes sees the need, experiences the emptiness, wants to be a minister of God. And shelters other folks through it. Do you want that? It's yours. We need to care for each other. We're in this together. And you may hold the very hope that someone needs in your circle right now. So I invite you to carry your umbrella and give them away in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.